2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Tuesday PGA DFS podcast presented to you by DFSArmy.com, and it's more of a Taco Wednesday podcast this week, as everything has been shifted up a day or so that the tournament can end on Monday. It will lock on Friday, and it will end Monday, Labor Day. That's why they do that. I think it's the only tournament of the year that does that, although we're about to get some overseas events that will have some very weird lock times during the fall swing season. But looking at this week here, we are in the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and we're headed to TPC Boston for the Dell Technologies Championship. Remember to come check us out, DFSArmy.com. You can use the link in the description. You'll definitely want to come check out our PGA content this week. The simulator is up and running in full, debuted last week. It was not bad at all. Really, really wanted a lot of DJ and Koepka, and pointed out Bryson DeChambeau as a really strong GPP play last week. I think I had him in the top 15 in win percentage, and it just does a really good job of showing you the inherent risk values with a lot of people. You can pretty easily tell who's more cash-oriented with a higher made cut percentage and maybe lower win percentage, and who's more of a risky play with upside. You'll see some guys like Bryson last week who may not make the cut as much as similarly priced people, but you can tell by the win percentage, top 5 percentage, top 10 percentage. And those exact props also are posted in the Beat the Bookie section of DFS Army. You can come check that out also using the link in the description, tiny.cc/beatthebookie. And how it works basically is, we run the simulator a few thousand times, and we calculate how many or what percentage of the time each player hits like top 10 or wins or whatever. And we compare that directly to our site sponsor, mybookie.ag. They've got some top 10 props out right now, and winner props out right now, and you can come see how the given implied odds for each of the props line up with the simulator results. They're pretty darn close, but there are a few guys this week that represent a little bit of value, and that's just because their simulator results are coming in slightly higher than their implied odds, just giving their current line for the props. And we've also got the head-to-head matchup simulations as well, and you can come check that out. DFSArmy.com, promo code TACO. Sign up and become a member today, just in time for NFL season, and get full coverage of the research station for the rest of the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'll be working on a European model just to, kind of bridge the gap a little bit until at least the fall swing season starts. And then, of course, come January, we'll have the Sony Open and the start of the 2019 season. So golf pretty much never ends. And, you don't have to pay for just the golf content here. You get everything included. You get all of our NFL content, be it season long or daily fantasy, of course. We've got basketball coming up. It's around the corner a few months from now. If you're unlike me and you live in a state where you can actually play college football at DFS, it's back. Go for it. It's like it's 2015 again. It's amazing. Good for them, I guess. I can't participate, but if you can, by all means, go for it. You lucky dog. I wish I could play some NCAA DFS, but nonetheless, just remember to come check us out. Link in the description. After hearing all of our tools and content, You'll definitely want to come sign up. Plus, you get to listen to the rest of this pod for free. Get that real deep dive into the player pool. I go all the way through the field. So, you know, for you guys who might not be signed up yet, who aren't DFS Army VIP members, because y'all crazy, we'll just be going over the course, the tournament, and the $10,000 and up guys. So, I mean, I won't even talk about Tiger Woods with you guys. Come on, you guys want to know what I'm thinking about Tiger Woods, don't you? So check us out, dfsarmy.com. Promo code TACO. Into this field right now. We are going to TPC Boston for the Dell Technologies Championship. And this course, it's really hard to define anything really that interesting about this course outside of the fact that it's a playoff event that usually has a pretty unique field size of 96 to 100. You usually get about a handful of withdrawals. This week we've got Ricky Fowler, who withdrew with an injury, and Francesco Molinari. He's got so many FedEx Cup points right now that he doesn't really care. He's taking a week off for rest, trying to get back to it next week. But, you know, when you're looking at the course for you know, something really unique about it, it's kind of like in the middle of the pack in a lot of different statistics here. The greens are bent grass and firm, which might be the most common type of green there is. The length, you know, about dead average, 7,300, 29th out of 68 recorded courses here, ranks 31st in average showdown fantasy points, you know, the average score, about a half stroke under par, ranks 30th out of 68. I mean, it's like down the middle in pretty much everything. Driving accuracy, greens regulation, even like the eagles, birdies, pars number, it's all just very, very, very down the middle of this course. The only real things that I can see that are, you know, unique about this course is it does rank third in strokes from the rough per round and 12th in fairway strokes per round. And, yeah, these greens are just, or these fairways are not hard to hit. And that hasn't been the case over the last few weeks. A lot of these tournaments, you've at least needed some accuracy, so we'll finally get to see some of the guys that we've been avoiding. You know, some of the more bomber, aggressive types. They'll be able to have their chance at this course without it being, you know, too crazy if you get off the beaten path here. Even the distribution of approach shots is pretty normal. You see about 6% more strokes from 175 to 200. On average, and that's not even really that huge of a discrepancy. So you're going to want to look for, again, strong field metrics. That was key last week for fading Joel Dahman, who I guarantee has the worst strong field numbers now after last week. And then, you know, overall acumen, of course, just pedigree, and you know, overall stats, like adjusted field rank. And it's a really nice week to have the simulator going. I have at least like 14 events worth of data and rounds of everybody in this field. And there are about 100 guys. So it's kind of easy to compare. You know, there's sort of a benchmark of like 1%. You know, everybody should have around a 1% chance to win. Whether you're above that or below that kind of says a lot about you. And, you know, the last thing I have to look at here is just the tournament breakdown from years past. Unlike last week, we have a full sample size of data from this tournament as it's played at TPC Boston since its inception. And, you know, looking at the historical winners here, you've got winning scores of 4 times we've won this event. In 2014, 15, 16, and 11, the winning score was minus 11. Outside of those years, we've had in 2010, Charlie Hoffman won at 18 under. Stenson won 2013 at 18 under. And Rory McIlroy won 2012 at 16 under. All of those guys hit over 130 fantasy points. And yeah, just based on the numbers, we get about 3 or 4 guys on average each year that score over 100 fantasy points. So kind of like the average score would indicate, it's a slightly higher scoring tournament than most, but you're not going to see scores in the like minus 20s unless somebody just absolutely goes on a tear. And when you're looking at the statistical correlations for this week, we look at both, you know, numbers of guys during the event, and then of course their season-long averages for the season that they played in the event. We correlate these to raw fantasy points for DraftKings. Just when looking at the stats that people have to hit on, in order to do well here, of course, approach, putting, greens, and regulation. You know, these things are usually number one, and this week it is absolutely no exception. They have pretty strong correlations with success here. Approach coming at 61%, putting 60%, greens regulation 56%. Driving accuracy actually comes in a little bit over driving distance, but when you look at the season-long statistical correlations, driving accuracy almost has no correlation with success here in fantasy point scoring, as is kind of usually the case. But you saw weeks like, I think last week or a couple weeks ago, you know, we've had some of these courses where driving accuracy, like last week, definitely, most people were on driving accuracy. I wasn't really as much because the numbers didn't come in all that hard. I'm kind of seeing that definitely this week, but I wouldn't say that this is a bomber's course either. Don't see driving distance or even off the tee numbers coming in all that strong. I guess strokes gained off the tee is pretty comparable to strokes gained approach this week when looking at the season-long correlations. But the approach numbers, off the tee numbers, they're like double the around-the-green numbers, and putting doesn't really matter much at all. You're just going to need to have a hot putter during the event, but guys putting well historically coming in, that's had no bearing on their success here. So just to summarize here, going to want to focus on adjusted field rank. The simulator results, really nice for the simulator, just since this event is kind of, you know, not, the course fit doesn't really matter quite as much this week. It's kind of bland. So the simulator is going to be a really nice way to run this. Just really excited for that this week. And then, of course, you know, the course itself, you know, there aren't very many unique features to the course as far as hole types, but there are four long par threes. And that's going to be a pretty important split, although usually par three scoring doesn't matter quite as much. I might look to guys who struggle in that range. We've also got a couple of short par fives and then a 600 yard par five, and that's where a lot of the scoring is going to be coming. That and along with you got a couple of really short par fours under 400 yards, not drivable like the par four from last week, but some really short ones. And yeah, that'll pretty much do it for the course. Again, just looking for, you know, overall stats, and of course approach, that's going to help a lot. So looking at the top of the field here, Dustin Johnson, $11,600 on DraftKings. He's $12,500 on FanDuel. And the rest of the 10K and up range on DraftKings would be Justin Thomas at 11,400, Brooks Koepka at 11,000, McIlroy at $10,600 after taking last week off, and Jason Day, $10,400. And Jordan Spieth will round it out with $10,000 as his price tag. Would have never guessed that would have been his price tag after, you know, these last few weeks. But, you know, he's still up there. He's runner-up here last year and was almost looking like he was going to have one hell of a showing last week before regressing pretty hard towards the end. But moving up to Dustin Johnson, $11,600. He's our highest projected player. Pretty much every time he's in a field, doesn't matter who he's up against. You know, sometimes we've seen a guy like Justin Thomas maybe come close to him, but never really that close. He's always going to be projected higher than everyone else. He's, you know, the simulator, he wins about 11% of the time. And another important thing to note here real quick is that, you know, since It's like a 98-player field. Top 70 in ties will make the cut. You're going to have a lot of 6 out of 6 lineups this week, but if you have someone miss the cut, chances are you probably aren't going to win anything unless a lot of the chalk just gets eviscerated. I say that because, you know, you'll see guys on the simulator, they'll very high make the cut percentages. Like Dustin Johnson, 95% made cut percentage. But if that 5% hits, and it has before, you can ask him at the Open Championship, that is going to just light your lineup on fire. So just be mindful of stuff like that this week. You can afford to be more aggressive since I think over two-thirds, like 68 or 69% of the field is going to make the cut compared to your average 45 to 50% of the cut or percent of the people making the cut. So you can't be more aggressive. You can do studs and duds. Just know that, you know, in GPP, a miscut, even in cash, a miscut is probably the end of you unless, you know, in cash I could see... if you have a really chalky cash gameplay that everybody has and he misses the cut, you might be okay. But in GPP, you're not going to win any real money with a 5 out of 6 lineup this week, as you know is usually the case. But this week, just especially so, you're probably not even going to min cash with a 5 out of 6 unless you've got like the top 5. Dustin Johnson, again, his course history here, 18th last year, 8th in 2016. Usually just mediocre results before that. A fourth in 2012 is all right. I was doing too much cocaine in 2014 to play. But, you know, not a thrilling course history for him compared to some other places he's been at. But, you know, where do I begin with the statistics for him this year? He's made 92% of his cuts. But what's more impressive is that in all of those cuts that he's made, he's finished top 30 in every single one of them. In fact, he's finished top 10 57% of the time this year. And top 5, 36% of the time with two victories. We haven't seen Dustin Johnson win in a huge field yet. We did see him the last time that we were at more of a scorer's course. Of course, that was at Canada where it was all like par 5s. And we had 4 par 5s. It was a very high-scoring event. This isn't going to be like that, but... you know, since then, he almost won at Bridgestone, was in contention all last week at the Northern Trust. He's just a beast. You don't really have to put a lot of thought into him week to week. The course fit's going to be a little bit better from him if he's going to be able to hit it from the fairway constantly. He ranks first in the field in birdies gained, fantasy points gained, second in FedEx Cup points. So Dustin Johnson is, of course, he's just super expensive, but like on FanDuel, he's pretty much free. Better value than Koepka and really a lot of the other studs out there. I don't know about Justin Thomas. He's probably pretty fairly priced there, but only $200 more on DraftKings than Justin Thomas. You can't really go wrong with that. So Dustin Johnson, yeah, just, you know, I do notice that if you look at the aggressive shot percentage and you compare him to Thomas or Koepka or Rory McIlroy, he has a considerably lower aggressive shot percentage, and it kind of leads me to want to play him in cash. But at the same time, Justin Thomas also looks pretty good in cash. That, and I'm kind of feeling a mid-range stack. For those of you who will be listening to the full podcast, you get to hear me salivate over the 8K range. It's just delicious this week. So I'm not really too... I'm not going to be too invested in, like, the top of the field here, but Dustin Johnson, it's really hard to, it's just hard to say no to him, you know? Look at any of his adjusted field rank splits, they're all above 90% for the year, just insane. He finishes in the top 10% of the field, just on average, and you can see that with the top 10% is this year above 57%, and 89% in strong field, so it's not like these have... You know, even though he hasn't won one of these strong field events, he still crushes them on the constant. So, yeah, I'm just really feeling... I'd be feeling DJ if he wasn't a bajillion dollars. Why can't he ever be underpriced? I think everyone just knows better. But win equity, he's just got the best. I'd say Koepka might have a little bit more value on the win equity there. But, you know, Dustin Johnson, obviously, is odds-on favorite. finishes 18th on average in the simulator. Just an awesome play this week if you can afford him. That's going to be the hard part, though, is to afford him. With all the juicy plays in like the 8K range, you're going to have to ignore for him. Justin Thomas, $11,400, $1,200 would be great, but yeah, he's definitely going to be more of a FanDuel play. Pretty good value over there compared to DraftKings, but Justin Thomas, ever since shaving an eighth of an inch off of his driver, his shaft, the results have been uncanny. He did that right before the Bridgestone that he won. Came sixth at the PGA Championship. Last week he finished eighth. He's the defending champion here. He did have rough performances here in 2016 and 2015. He's a much, much better golfer now. And again, runner-up last year, or not runner-up, he won the whole thing last year. I don't know why I said runner-up. I think he finished runner-up to Rory in the FedEx Cup standings. But yeah, Justin Thomas, hard to go wrong there. On DraftKings, if he's going to be lower owned to GPP, maybe you might want to take him because that price tag is pretty hefty. Nothing wrong with the play at all. He's, in elite form. Not quite the numbers of DJ, but, his top 20%, 73%, 47% of the time he's finishing top 10. And has two wins on the year, just like DJ, Brooks, Day. He definitely has a chance to win this thing. The sim likes him for 5%, 5% win percentage, which isn't all that great, but he has a really high made cut percentage. You can really see the power of the sim in just comparing some guys here. Like, let's compare Justin Thomas and Brooks Koepka here real quick. Koepka, he's got more upside, but he isn't quite as safe just historically. You might have saw in Canada, he can just miss cuts out of freaking nowhere. So the dude has a 7.8% win equity rating, and that's second on the board. Really good, compared to Justin Thomas's 5.2%. But Justin Thomas makes the cut 93% of the time. Koepka made the cut 85% of the time. So, Justin Thomas, you'd want to play him more for cash. I'd mentioned him as a cash game play earlier. Koepka, definitely more of a GPP play. And this is, the simulator is just based. It's based on their strokes gained into the field per round, round by round, going back a few years, but definitely skewing forward to the point where it correlates the highest. So just a good way to look for cash versus GPP plays, so y'all can quit asking me constantly if a guy is a GPP or cash play. Going to Justin Thomas's adjusted field ranks over the last 15 weeks, 86%. Last 25 weeks, 87%. Season long, 90%. In strong fields, 91%. He really does show up during these strong fields, and he tends to show up during the weekends. Really solid weekend play, like especially last week when he was seriously underpriced. He was like $8,600 for the weekend. That was nutty. That was just incorrect. Hopefully that happens again so I can just slam him again. I think I actually ended up winning like the weekend albatross with him last week. And then, yeah, just Justin Thomas, really like the play. Again, like DJ, I'm all about him if just as long as you can, afford him, which is going to be the hard part because this 8K range, so good. I want to take all of these guys. And it's like the upper 8K range too. That's so nice. And, a lot of the punts, it's really hard to consider taking a lot of the punts here. Just when you consider the fact that they're so bad and the top of the field is so good. And miscuts are so penal. So Thomas, Johnson, would really love to have as much of them as I can. Just going to be hard to with the way everything works out this week. And then we've got one more player over $11,000. Brooks Koepka, just mentioned him, of course. $12,300 on FanDuel. Going to be hard to... Gonna be harder to take him there. Of course, he's going to be very popular. He had the horrible showing in Canada, but really outside of that, he's been, since coming back from his injury, he has just been lights out. Won the U.S. Open, won the PGA Championship, so he's just sitting there, having won the last two majors or two of his last three majors, but two majors on the year. Eighth last week, was constantly in contention from day one, just dude is freaking balling out right now. Like I'd said, second highest win equity on the board, but you know, average finish of 31st compared to Justin Thomas's average finish of 23rd, so you know what to do there. You know, 73% aggressive shot percentage, 2.3% double bogey worst percentage. I mean, you can easily see why the simulator says was what it does about Brooks Koepka here. He's just a very awesome GPP play with really high upside and a low floor. If you look at his off the tee and approach work over the last 10 rounds, gaining 1.3 strokes off the tee, 1.4 strokes approach, I mean, the numbers are just sick. I want to go back up to Thomas, actually. I didn't mention him, but yeah, his approach numbers also just ridiculously consistent and good. Like, DJ, of course, you know, he's right there. You know, his splits are like one stroke scanned approach, you know, and that's just so important. But Justin Thomas sitting at 1.4, Brooks Koepka 1.44 over his last 10 rounds, on average, just gaining those strokes. Just, I absolutely love seeing that, you know, off the tee and approach. So Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, DJ, they're kind of in a, they're on a tier all of their own. If you could afford these guys, I think they're all slam dunk plays, to be quite honest. I guess Koepka has just a little bit more concern in the fact that, well, you know, the double bogey or worse percentage is much higher. His 2.3%, much higher than DJ and Justin Thomas, who are at about 1.4%. And, you know, it's just crazy, though, because Koepka, 33% of the time, so one out of every three tournaments, he finishes top five. It's just insane. So, if I had to put it like this, DJ is just a super stud. JT, I like him in cash, but probably not going to end up working him into my cash game lineups. Definitely on FanDuel, though. Like, DJ, JT, awesome way to start a lot of lineups on FanDuel. And then Brooks Koepka, just you know, good value on DraftKings, I guess, but just GPP. Has GPP written all over him. Both sides, really. And then down to Rory McIlroy here. Two-time winner of this event at this course. Missed the cut last year. He won in 2016 and 2012. We last saw him at the PGA Championship. Finished 50th. You know, not that great. Runner-up at the Open Championship, but, like, that's the Open Championship, and that's Rory. Like, those are like peanut butter and jelly. You know, the numbers aren't really as good for Rory. It's a 4.6% win, implied win percentage from the sim. Makes the cut 88% of the time, so a little bit better than Koepka. Finishes 30th exactly on average. Again, a little bit better than Koepka, but not to imply that he is a safer play by any means. I mean, Rory is right there with him. Hitting at 321 in adjusted field-adjusted driving distances here. 321.6 off the tee. It's kind of nutty. Those are some, you know, he's bombing it out there. But has the lowest driving accuracy of anyone we've talked about so far, 55%. Also lowest greens regulation percentage, and he's the lowest in a lot of the stats compared to, if you're just going to look at these four guys here. Rory's kind of perpetually overpriced in a sense, to where he's not going to be a great value by any real means, just based on how he's been playing. But, you know, last week, or last year, we saw it. We saw Rory just, it's like he knows which events actually matter, and he picks it up during those events. And he ended up winning. It wasn't last year, actually. I lied earlier when I said he won last year. 2 years ago, 2016. You saw how in 2016 he won this event, and that kind of started his snowball towards the FedEx Cup Championship. Wasn't really in it last year, and I don't think he's going to be in it too much this year. He's ranked 28th. You know, the first three guys I talked about were all in the top five. He does have the win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational so far this year, and while that's more of a traditional, like, bombers course, it's still good to see. Your boy Rory still knows how to win. He's definitely one of the best golfers in the world, that's for sure. But, you know, odds-wise, 16-1. Took last week off. Maybe they'll give him a little bit of rest, but I'd kind of prefer they play last week. Since the field is going to be roughly like the same. These British guys, are these guys that are also contending over in the race to Dubai? Stenson, Rory McIlroy, Molinari. These guys are taking weeks off. It's almost like they don't care quite as much, of course. All the Americans, they're teeing it up for sure. This event's worth so many points. It gives you some concern for, like, Molinari next week, because, I don't know, but he's, like, top 10 still in the FedEx Cup rankings. But, Rory, he's already won this event before. He's won the FedEx Cup playoffs before. Sure, he'd love to win it again, but I don't like him nearly as much as, like, Koepka, Thomas, or DJ, and that's kind of consistent week to week with me. And he's always just going to be priced up because of who he is, where he is in the world golf rankings. When we start doing these European Tour events, if you fade Rory, you're just acting a fool, to be honest. But in America, I really don't mind fading Rory. Although, it just scares me that he's won at this exact course twice. That's going to lead me to some pussy hedges his way, but... 69% made cut percentage on the year. It's not been the greatest year for him. Don't get me wrong. Like, the runner-up at the Open Championship, it's like I almost like want to discount that a little further, even though it was a major and all that. It's like, it's just at the Open Championship, he always shows up. Yeah, it doesn't really matter where. He just plays better in England. Like, if every event had to be played in England from now on, Rory McIlroy would be the world number one. It wouldn't be close. So... moving on down to Jason Day, $10,400, $11,800 on FanDuel. Him and Dustin Johnson so far, the only studs we've seen getting a little bit of love from Vegas since line opening. DJ moved from 9 to 8, and Jason Day's moved from 15 to 14. Good course history here for him since 2010. He's only had one finish outside of the top 25, and that was a 51st place finish. In 2012, runner-up in 2010, third in 2011. Really, it's just been a bunch of top 15 finishes for him in a row. Nothing too impressive. Seventh in 2014 and 25th last year. So just steady, super steady. He might be, again, he looks like more of a cash game consideration. He's rolling in with five straight top 20 finishes. And, last week was kind of a disappointment for him, I'd say, finishing 20th at a course he had really, really good course history at, and it was also a very good course fit at, but nonetheless, he's leaning cash play, but I don't think I'm going to, pay up for Day in cash. He's starting to almost look like a line value, though, and he has winning upside. He's won twice this year, 87% season-long adjusted field rank. It's just... over his last 10, he's lost strokes. His last 25, he's lost strokes approach. Even over his last 10 rounds, he's lost strokes off the tee. Just barely, 0.01, but still, just average. He's been doing everything this year around the green. And he's also a much better Poa Anua putter. We've been on like three courses in a row with Poa Anua greens. We were on bentgrass this week, so you can see the custom split for bentgrass in the research station. And... honestly, he's not really that great in comparison to the guys we've talked about already. DJ, JT, these guys, the acronym boys, they actually average twice as many strokes gained on bent grass greens on the year. And it's with good sample sizes, too, since, bent's the most common. So I'd be inclined to fade Day a little bit. I liked him last week. I used him a lot last week, and it was just okay. People are going to see the top 20s in a row and be like, cool, lock them in. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to go down to 7,500 and just... I know he didn't last week, but I'm going to pick a certain guy that's hit a bunch of top 20s in a row. Smack on him down there. But, the course history, it's neat. It's nice. The sim shows him as, 4% win percentage. 91% made cut percentage. So definitely a safer option than Rory and Brooks there, but the upside, I don't think it's, there as much. But if you want a top, 20 finish, and that'll do you, I'm not going to pay $11,800 on FanDuel for that. I mean, of course you can win, but, I don't know, just, I have mediocre feelings towards Day. I'm not going to fade him completely by any means. I like him a little better than Rory, but I think he's going to, right now at the line value he's at, I'd imagine he'd have to be a little bit popular. He does project fairly well, so I don't know. I'm just really don't like picking guys that are losing strokes approach, you know. That's just one of the rules I try to live by. And Jason Day kind of, he's definitely been doing better though. Let's look at the strokes gain tab. Just an awesome tab that we have here at DFS Army. You can see right here, Jason Day, over his, just comparing his strokes gained approach splits. So far this year, he has only gained strokes approach in 35% of his rounds. That is abysmal. That's bad. Last round, last week, he lost over 3 strokes approach. But on Friday, he gained 2.5. So I don't know what's up with him. You know, I don't know. What's really cool is to look at the standard deviations. The standard deviation average from round to round, that really shows you how consistent guys are with their approach game. Like Justin Thomas, he has I think he actually has the best standard deviation, the lowest of anyone in the entire field, excruciatingly low at 1.19. Compare that to Koepka's 1.98. You know, he's kind of more all over the place, but Koepka's a guy who, you know, over the last 50 rounds gained 0.6 strokes approach, but over the last 10s gained 1.4, last 25 0.78, you know. As where you look at Rory, he's lost half a stroke approach over his last 10 rounds. As where last 50, he's gained 0.26, so he's kind of going the wrong direction. It's really nice to be able to see things like that. When you look at Jason Day, he's just been consistent. Over the last 50, he's lost 0.1, last 25, 0.03, last 10, lost 0.2. I mean, he's kind of consistently bad in a sense, but like, when you're looking, you know, even closer, it's like, you know, his charts are like a wild roller coaster, as where Justin Thomas's is more like a smooth line. So again, another reason why I like Justin Thomas for cash. When you have a consistent approach game like that, that is my language. Plus, his stroke is just beautiful. Watch him play golf. Watch him hit a wedge shot. Just amazing. Absolutely astonishing to watch him play. So, yeah, remember, come check out all those tools. Before I head on to the deep dive here, just want to just give a quick recap for anyone who might be considering joining us. Just what all comes with just the research station and PGA alone, let alone the domination station lineup optimizer. On top of that, you know, you get the research station, which is just packed full of all the info you would ever need for a daily fantasy PGA slate. On the main tab, you've got, I'm just going to run through it real quick. The projections, of course, the odds, and then live updating odds so you can see the drift in real time. Course history, of course, full course history, recent form. On our sheet, actually, you can unfurl it and see a person's recent form all the way to the Sony Open the beginning of the year. So remember that trick. Unhide those tabs in the recent form section. You can see all of their data, all of their results, and going back all the way to Sony. And you've got the results from the simulator tab. Of course, you know, you've got the simulator. You've got the simulator versus odds books tools, of course. And then you've got the key stats here. You know, FedEx Cup, made the cut percentage. You know, driving distance, driving average, greens regulation, birdies gained to the field per round, fantasy points gained to the field per round, double bogey worst percentage. Really nice for cash games, and aggressive shot percentage, really nice for GPPs. Just lots of tools that will help that, you know, the main goal is to help you determine who's better for who's better for cash games, who's better for GPPs. And instead of just giving you one value number and saying, there you go, you know, it's nice to know the inherent risk of your guys. Then, of course, you get the strokes gain section and the strokes gain tab, which has a complete breakdown. You can see each of their last 10 rounds that they've played, what their exact numbers were, then their splits for the last 10, 25, 50, and even their projected forecasted, just a linear forecast of what the projected next round would be for each of the splits, and then positive round percentage, like I had mentioned, and then you've got adjusted field rank stats, which are really, really nice. If you don't know what that is, real quick, it just tells you on average the amount of, or the number of players, or the percentage of the field that they beat at any given tournament, and it's adjusted for strength of field. And you can see strength of field. You can see everybody's strength of field in the 2018 form section, and that's where I pull the top 50 percentages, top 20 percentages, top 5 percentages, all that. Then, of course, you got the fantasy points per hole and projected course numbers, which, by the way, Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson just absolutely freaking crushed this. So, like I said, if you can get those guys in at any cost, man, not at any cost, because you can miss a lot of value if you go for those guys. Definitely don't play them together, but as you can see, the fantasy points per hole section, it takes... each person's fantasy points per hole averages on each hole type and then calculates it based on the course and gives you a projected raw scoring fantasy point projection per round for each player. Very, very helpful. And it's been one of the most telling stats all season long. It's predicted winners, just that stat alone. And you can see a good breakdown of that in the Chalk Donkey article, available for VIP members only. Written by our own Josh, DFS Up North. Awesome article. I read it every day to learn from my own data, or every week when it comes out. I mean, he helps me point out some stuff that I don't even realize about my own stuff. So that's just the, that's just the main page alone. On top of that, you've got the stroke scan tab, like I mentioned earlier, the simulator tab. It's really powerful. The showdown tools tab, which shows you their average showdown fantasy points gained to the field. Then you have those splits by round 1, 2, 3, 4, weekend. Even when they tee off in the AM compared to when they tee off in the PM. Did you know Dustin Johnson averages 15.5 showdown fantasy points gained to the field when he tees off in the AM compared to 7.2 when he tees off in the PM? He's a morning guy. Who would have guessed? And then, you also see good round percentage, bad round percentages to see... which guys have more upside again, and which guys have, more of a downside, or which guys are safer with the low bad round percentage, like Justin Thomas, who is just freakishly consistent and awesome, and I love Justin Thomas. You've got the stat cruncher, of course, which you can add custom weights to each of the stats and create your own model as you see fit. The historical performances tab, which does a complete breakdown of every person that's ever played the course, what all their stats were, and the correlations. You can see how many eagles they got or whatever. You can see a round-by-round score, lots of data. And then the tournament breakdown tab, or you can see this tournament and compare it to every other tournament in things like average score, average showdown fantasy points, driving distance, greens regulation, even their distribution of approach shots and their fairway shots compared to their rough and sand shots per round. I mean, just invaluable information. If you're not sold by now, I mean, you have to be. And there are even a few other tabs I won't even mention because they're just, they're just like so good. I can't even go over this. I'll make this an hour-long podcast if I try to go over all this stuff. But you can see the averages by finish tab, results by stroke scan tab. They're really cool. Just come check them out. DFSArmy.com. Promo code TACO. Use that link in the description. And, if you want to check out the rest of the podcast as we go through the deep dive into this field, sign up using that link in the tab. And I'll be waiting on you guys.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.